Why don't we stand? Give Pastor Grant the biggest round of applause as he comes up to preach this morning.
Awesome. Morning, church. How you doing? Awesome. You'd be surprised. I hear that a lot around Australia, where people go, Grant's a great preacher, one of our favourite, but our favourite is Pastor Ben. He's done every other church around this world and around this state and around our country, which is absolutely awesome. And you know, I think you're absolutely blessed to have Pastor Trish and Pastor Ben as your senior pastors. I've known them for around a decade now. Got to meet them through Youth Live. Yeah, you can take your seats. And they're great men and women of God with a heart after Jesus. And you're so blessed to have them here as your senior pastors. And, you know, I really feel today we're going to share around the Word and I'm going to pray for some people. And maybe you're in this place today and you've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. Or maybe you have once before, but through decisions, through choices, through life, you know you're away from God right now. I just believe on September the 23rd, on the Gold Coast at Reedy Creek, with inside King's Christian Church is your morning to turn from your ways and turn towards Jesus. He loves you. He accepts you just the way that you are. He believes in you. And you know, I really feel for this church that you are on the edge of revival. See, revival isn't about what happens within inside the four walls of a church. But revival is about what happens to a community. And I really believe that this church is on the edge of revival. We've got to keep seeking God, keep praying, keep going after Him. And today I want to talk to you around the topic that I believe will stir our hearts to see revival. And the thought is today, what to expect when you're expecting? What to expect when you're expecting? See, we've had three children now. We've been very, very blessed with three children. But every time, just before they've been birthed, I've been a bit afraid about what was going to come out. Yeah, they may look a bit dysfunctional. Remember the doctor handing me the baby? Can you like wrap that in something first before I touch that? Like just. But see, when you're pregnant with a child, you expect life to come out. But see, when we are expecting, when we are pregnant with a dream from heaven, when we are pregnant with a dream from God, we must expect that life is going to come with it. Because God doesn't deliver dead dreams, does He? He delivers live dreams. And I want to encourage us today, it's time for us to dream again. It's time for us to believe again. It's time for us to go again, church. It's time for us to step out in faith again, church. It's time for us to start praying for the sick again, church. It's time for us to walk down the streets again, church, and invite people to church. Ask them about their relationship with Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, what to expect when you're expecting. See, I believe expectation is a form of faith. If you have a look in the Bible, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says this: faith is a confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. See, expectation is a form of faith. See, I believe that Jesus has called me. I believe that God touched my life and transformed my heart. I believe that He wants to see thousands of people set free and saved in Jesus' name. And because I have that expectation in Jesus, my faith continues to be increased. What to expect when you're expecting. See, today, if you're expecting God to do nothing, then nothing will happen. But if you're expecting God to do something, then all things are possible. See, I don't want to sit at home and expect God to do nothing. But every day I wake up, I want to expect God to do something in Jesus' name. Whether it's I'm paying for someone's fuel, whether it's I'm pulling over to the side of the road to help someone else, whether it's just me saying hi to someone, I believe that God wants to use us every day. See this building here today? I believe that God wants to fill this service, this building, service after service, service after service, service after service, not just with Christians, but with people that don't know the Lord yet. I don't know about you, church, but do you expect that to happen? I know for your pastors, they expect that. I know for your pastors, they believe that. I know for your pastors, they dream of that. But church, We must dream of that too. We must dream that our families are going to be surrendering their life to Jesus Christ. We must believe that our next door neighbors are going to be at this altar surrendering their life to Jesus Christ. We must believe and have an expectation in Jesus' name. See, our expectation shouldn't be found in a man, a leader, or even a vision. But our expectation should be found in God. It's great to have amazing leaders that guide us and lead us through life, who give us vision for our lives and vision for us to follow. We must follow that. But we can't find our expectation within inside that. We must find our expectation within inside God. You know, church, I don't know if you know this, but there's 590,000 people that called Gold Coast home. 590,000 people. And this morning here, we probably have a couple of hundred here and then 100 or so up at the other campus. And then maybe a couple of thousand in churches all across the Gold Coast this morning. See, it's time if we want to see revival to start expecting our churches to be filled with God's people. To see this city saved and set free in Jesus' name. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20 says this. Now all glory to God who is able through the mighty power at work within him to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. See, I love this scripture. Because see, we may think this much, but God thinks that much. But the problem is we don't see more because there's a gap between this brain and our mouth. We forget to ask. I don't know about you, but I want to get in front of God every day and say, God, give me more. God, give me more opportunities. God, give me more grace. God, give me more love for people. And as we ask for more, he will give us more. I remember back in the year 2011, my wife, Beck, became pregnant with our second daughter. And at 18 weeks pregnant, I was out working on flood-damaged houses through Goodna and helping rebuild them through our church. And I get this phone call on the Monday afternoon, and Beck's like, hey, Grant, you need to hurry up and come to the hospital. I'm like, oh, what's up? I'll explain when you get there. And I quickly jump in the car, and I get to the hospital. And as we sit in an appointment with the doctors, they do all these tests and they say, hey, I have to let you know that Beck, your waters have broken. Your body is actually starting to kick into labor. You're starting to have contractions and at 18 weeks, babies don't survive. And I'm here to tell you today, I just have to let you know that there's nothing we can do for you. There's no operation, there's no drugs, there's nothing we can do to help you out today except check you into hospital and just lie on your back. And if you can get to 24 weeks, then we have the technology to help you. As we sat there, our hearts dropped and shock sort of started to kick in. And as we walked out of that office that day to go to the hospital, to go get checked into the Mater Hospital, the special unit. As we walked out, the Holy Spirit gave us a scripture. And it says, Psalm 118 verse 17 says this, I will not die. Instead, I will live to tell what the Lord has done. I will not die. Instead, I will live to tell what the Lord has done. You know, the truth is today, church, it's not going to surprise me the day when Abby preaches the gospel and she does altar calls and she lays hands upon the sick and sees them healed in Jesus' name. Because at 18 weeks, the devil tried to take her out. But my God, our God, your God is stronger, is mightier, is powerful than any works of the enemy. And so you need to understand this, from 18 weeks all the way through to 38 weeks pregnant, my wife laid upon her back, was unable to do anything. Every single day we prayed this scripture over Abby. Every single day we laid hands upon her. Every waking moment we prayed and believed that God would do a miracle. And because of that expectation, God did a miracle. The doctors were surprised, but we weren't. Because we put our trust in God. And see, the truth is today, there may be some people in this room that you have a similar story, but the outcome was different. I want to encourage you today, don't lose hope. Don't lose faith. Continue to believe. Don't allow a seed from the enemy to determine the path ahead of you. But allow a seed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he is a healing God, to continue to move forward in Jesus' name. See, church today, how do you walk into work every day? Do you walk into work with an expectation that God is going to do something? Church today, how do you walk into school every day? Do you believe God is going to use you every day? How do you walk down the streets of your community every day? Do you walk down with an expectation that I am here, I am appointed, I am anointed from heaven to be his mouthpiece? Church, here's a big one. How do we walk into church every Sunday morning? Do we walk in to tick the Christianity box? Or do we walk in with an expectation to say, God, today is the day that someone's going to be set free. Today is the day that someone's going to be healed. Today is the day that someone's going to be released. Today is that someone's going to be restored in Jesus' name. Do you believe that, church? I certainly do. Let's not get caught up in religion, but let's get caught up in a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. See, today I want to share a little bit around my story. And, you know, I'm so glad that there was a church in 1981 called Liberty Christian Church, who was pastored by a man called Steve Penny, planted a church in Logan City with an expectation that people are going to get saved and set free, with an expectation that lives are going to be transformed. See, you need to understand this today. You may look at me and think, yeah, Grant, you've got it all together. You got the nice clothes, the pretty face, and the beautiful wife. Thank you for noticing. Well, I'm here to tell you today, I don't have it all together. I just know the one who does. And that's Beck. I mean, no, that's Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one that has it all together. And see, my life, I grew up in an amazing family. My mum and dad, they loved me, they cared for me. My two older brothers used to show love by locking me in cupboards. Who's got older brothers or sisters? Did they do that to you? We can have an altar call just for you today if you like. But they're my best friends. And we grew up in an amazing family, but I still remember the day on the 4th of July, 1989. My dad woke me up in the morning. I got up for school and did what I always did. Went to school and got detention. And that afternoon, I went down to the front of the school where my mum would pick me up. And if you meet my mum is never late. Like when she comes over for dinner, I tell her to come at 8 p.m. at night, knowing she'll be there at like 5:30, 6 o'clock. Like she is always a couple of hours early. And I get down to the front of my school and my mum's not there. As a 10-year-old boy, I started to get a bit fearful. And after about 5 or 10, 15 minutes, here I was sitting out the front of my school just in a heap, bawling my eyes out. Until a teacher came running down the road, hey, Grant, your mum's been held up. Everything's fine. Your mum's been held up. Your next door neighbor's going to pick you up. And see, I don't know if this has ever happened to you before, but if you walked into a conversation before, a moment in time, a room, and noticed that there's something wrong, or know in your heart that something is wrong. As I sat in the front seat of my next door neighbor's car that afternoon, I knew that there was something wrong. We drove all the way back to Rochdale South, and as I pulled into my street, there was cars all over the road. All over my front driveway, all over my yard, and all over the road. So I walk into my house that day. I walk in to find out that my father had had a heart attack and passed away. You know, as a 10-year-old boy, I blamed God. As a 10-year-old boy, I blamed my mum, my brothers in this world for taking my father away. Over about 3 weeks, I just kept crying. I couldn't deal with this grief until one day I woke up and said, this hurt, this pain, this grief that has engulfed my life, I'm not going to allow it to touch me anymore. And I pushed those thoughts so deep down within inside my life. Within a year or so, I started to spiral out of control. I started smoking a pack of cigarettes every afternoon by the age of 12. By the time I got to 13, I was high most afternoons of the week on marijuana. By the time I got to 14, I was binge drinking so much that I'd wake up in my own vomit on the weekend. By the time I got to 15, I dropped out of school and become a full-blown addict where I was sharing needles with my friends. I want to show you a photo today of what I looked like in the year 2000. Here I was, 55 kilos. lost, broken, not knowing what to do with my life, not knowing where to turn, not knowing who to turn to. I still remember at the start of the year 2001, I fell to my knees in a park and I said, God, if you are real, you need to do something in my life. Because see, the truth is, I'd heard about religion. I'd heard about this guy called God. I'd heard about this dude who hung upon a cross, but I'd never experienced his love before. And see, we need to understand that this world has heard about God, but they've never experienced his love, grace, and mercy. That's why we must have an expectation that people can be set free and saved in Jesus' name. Because only a month or two later, I met a beautiful young girl by the name of Beck. Within a couple of months, invited me to church, and on Good Friday 2001, I sat in a building like this in the back row, a drug addict, alcoholic. When the pastor said, hey, you want to give your life to Christ? I remember walking to the front and surrendering my heart to Jesus within a moment. His Holy Spirit fell and completely healed me and set me free in Jesus' name. See, I'm so glad that there was a church that had an expectation that lives could be saved and set free. Church, do you believe that this place can become a center of hope for this world? Do you believe that this place can become a place where people will be set free and saved in Jesus' name? See, we need to understand today that Job lost everything, but never lost hope in his Savior and his Creator. Moses walked through the wilderness for 40 years, but never lost sight of the promised land. Samson, even though anointed by God with power, lost everything, but he said, God, anoint me one more time. Anoint me one more time with power. And God anointed him. He pushed over the pillars, and the roof fell down upon his enemies. See, today, God wants to anoint you afresh with an expectation to see lives transformed in Jesus' name. See, in the book of Ezekiel chapter 37, if you read this in the valley of dry bones, it's called, and here is Ezekiel, the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord comes along and he picks up Ezekiel and he takes him to the valley of dry bones, and he starts walking through this valley and talking with God and saying, can these bones live again? And Ezekiel says, only you alone know God. But I'm here to tell you today, when the Spirit of God comes, anything can be revived in Jesus' name. When we find our expectation in God, anything can be set free in Jesus' name. And they walk through this valley. And God continues to ask him these different questions. And Ezekiel keeps saying, only you alone know God. I love this scripture. And five times during this scripture, God talks about the breath of God. And the Hebrew, that breath is spirit. And through this scripture, it says five times, and it's the same breath or spirit that God breathed into men in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. It's the same spirit or breath that God breathed into this word in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. It's the same spirit that was breathed into men in John chapter 20, verse 22. And so we must understand today that his spirit, that the breath of God is here to breathe afresh into our lives so those dreams and expectations can be revived in Jesus' name. So today I want to quickly just talk to you about how we can have expectation in God. And the first thing that we need is we need to walk with expectation. See, here is Ezekiel, he gets dropped into the valley of dry bones. And he had a choice whether to walk with the authority Christ had given him or walk in fear. See, you got to understand this today, church. There is a difference between arrogance and authority. See, arrogance is all about how good I am. Arrogance is all about what I can do. Arrogance is, oh, how great I am. But authority is about how awesome God is. Authority is about how great He is. Authority is about His power, not ours. And we must, as Christians, walk with the authority Christ had given us. I remember many years ago, in one of our properties in Daisy Hill, and me and my wife were just sitting on the front balcony one day having a cup of tea and having a chat, and all of a sudden I see these birds just ducking down into the ground right along our fence line out the front. I'm like, what are they doing? And they kept doing it, and they kept doing it. Oh, this is interesting. So I stood up and I looked across the front lawn. And as I looked across the front lawn, I was like, oh, awesome. It's a snake. And as I said snake, The front door closed, all the windows closed, the deadlock went on the door, and I looked around, I'm like, where's Beck gone? Like, she had taken off. And here I was so excited. I walk out into my front lawn, and I walk past the garage, and I grab a shovel and a rake, and as I grabbed them, I felt the spirit of Steve Irwin come upon me, and I was like, crikey, here we go. And as I walked out towards this snake, it's like, this is awesome, I'm going to look like the hero. My wife's going to think I'm brilliant. And I walk out towards it, then all of a sudden I realize what type of snake it was. It was a red-bellied black snake. And once I saw that, I did the old half step. I was like, oh, wait a second. I don't know if I want to do this anymore. Have you ever done the half step before? You feel God speak to you? Go talk to someone? Yeah, I'm going to go talk to them. Oh, wait a second. I'm going to go this way now. Like, has that ever happened to someone before? I know it happens to me. But God is telling us today, let's walk in all authority that He's given us. And the enemy is waiting for us to take the half step. Because see, you need to understand this. Once I took the half step that day, the snake flicked around and came straight for me. Before I knew it, I was in my carport on top of the car going, what now, snake? I'm throwing the shovel at it. I'm throwing the rake at it. I'm getting palm fronds and I'm hitting it. I was there for about 3 hours. But see, the truth is, once the enemy sees our half step, he wants to attack. No, let's not take half steps, but let's walk in boldness. Let's walk in the authority Christ has given us. Let's walk in God, you've got me, you've anointed me, you've chosen me for such a time as this in Jesus' name. I love that He is the King who saves. I love that He is the King who heals. I love that He is the King that restores, the King that binds together the brokenhearted, the King that forgives, the King that broke the power of sin off our lives, the King that breaks all curses, breaks all strongholds, heals all pains. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is the Savior to this world and to our lives. He is the Redeemer, the Provider, the Protector, the Messiah. He is the way, the truth, and the life, as it says in John 14:6. He is the Word of God, the Lamb of God, the Bread of Life. He is the shelter, our strong tower, our strength, our hope, our future, and He is the lover to our souls, church. So let's walk with all expectation that God wants to use us. See, God doesn't want to just use the pastoral staff, the worship team, the youth team, the youth mission team, but every person that calls upon the name of Jesus Christ, when we call upon His name, His anointing comes upon us, His calling comes upon us, His anointing comes into our lives, and we can walk in all authority in Jesus' name. So we must walk. We must walk. Secondly, is we must talk with expectation. See, I believe when our talk matches up with the Spirit of God, anything can be revived. If you get to know me over a period of time, you can ask my wife this, you can ask my friends this, but the truth is, if you get to know me over a period of time and you ask me how I'm doing, I have a saying, it's either I'm living the dream, I'm brilliant, or I'm fantastic. That's what I say all the time. Is every day living the dream? No, it's not. But I just choose to frame my world with the words that I speak. See, God did that in Genesis, didn't He? He said, let there be light. There was light. Let there be creation. There was creation. Let there be trees. There was trees. He was framing the world with His words. And too many Christians frame their world we got to frame our world with positive words. Be positive people. Lining up with the Spirit of God. See, the truth is, when I'm having a bad day, Facebook won't know about it. Twitter won't know about it. Instagram won't know about it. But my senior pastor will know about it. My wife will know about it. And my mentors will know about it. Why? Because I believe in accountability. But everyone else, they won't know about it. Because I frame my world with the words that I speak. We can have bad days, but we can't stay there. We can have a bad week, but we can't stay there. We can even have a bad month, but we can't stay there. And we need to frame our world with positive words, the Spirit of God in Jesus' name. See, I love in Ezekiel 37, verse 3. Here he is, Ezekiel walking through, and God talks to him, Son of man, can these bones live? I said, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Prophesy. What's he saying? Talk to that situation. Speak to that situation. Don't allow that situation to stay there, but elevate it and speak life to it. See, I believe today this is a word for someone that you've been looking far too long at the situation, and it's time to now start prophesying to that situation. For far too long, you've looked at the bills and you looked at the empty bank account and said, I'm never going to do anything. I'm never going to be a house owner. It's time to start speaking life into that account and stop speaking death to it. Say, no, God, you have called me. You have anointed me. You have chosen me in Jesus' name. Start speaking life and prophesy to that situation. So we must walk. We must talk. We must dream with expectation. Love what it says in the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 17. It says this, in the last days, says the Lord, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. And your old men will dream dreams. See, it's time that we start to dream again, church. It's time that we start to dream to see this place filled with God's people. It's time that we start dreaming afresh to say, God, you have chosen us. You have anointed us. We are here for such a time as this. Let's start dreaming afresh. See, let's dream that people all throughout the Gold Coast can be saved and set free in Jesus' name. Let's dream that this place can be filled on a Friday night, the youth ministry overflowing. Let's dream that young adults can congregate around a cause and the call of God. Let's start to dream that the culture can be changed in Jesus' name. Let's start to believe that this place can become a house of restoration in Jesus' name. So you've got to understand this today. The best churches have not even been planted yet. Even though you're a part of an amazing church. But it's time to dream again that the greatest churches still haven't been planted yet. The greatest youth pastor still hasn't even been put into a position yet. Even though I was a phenomenal youth pastor for many, many years. But the greatest youth pastor still hasn't even been put into a position yet. Shout to the Lord, even though it was an amazing song. But the greatest worship song still hasn't been written yet. Reinhard Bonnke has seen over 76 million recorded decisions for Jesus Christ through his ministry. Absolutely amazing what that man has done and what God has done through his life. But I'm here to tell you tonight that the greatest outreach still hasn't been done yet. So we must dream again, dream with an expectation that God has more for our lives in Jesus' name. Do you believe that today, church? We must walk, we must talk, we must dream. And the last thing we must do is we must listen with expectation. You know, God doesn't just speak in this written word. God speaks here too. He speaks to our heart daily. But are we listening? We must listen with an expectant heart. Both times God spoke to Ezekiel in these scriptures, Ezekiel didn't walk away, but he did what God said. He prophesied into those situations and life came because he listened. Sometimes we can be so quick to move on, can't we? So quick to move on to the next task or the next thing that we have to do without going, God, no, what do you want me to do? God, I'm here. I'm listening. I love in the book of Psalm chapter 40, verse 1 to 3, it says this, I waited patiently for the Lord to help me. And he turned to me and he heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. He has given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see what the Lord has done and be amazed, and they will put their trust in the Lord. I love the start of the scripture. I waited patiently. You can ask my wife, I'll be the most impatient person you'll ever meet. But when was the last time that we put down our iPhone, our iBible, our iPad and our iBrain to seek God? When was the last time that we took time out of our daily walk in life to say, God, I'm going to sit here, I'm going to wait patiently for you to speak in Jesus' name.